Welcome to Grow in Grace Podcast, where we want to encourage you to think deeply about God so that you can know Him and love Him better. Join us as we strive to grow in grace together. Welcome to the Grow in Grace Podcast. We're your hosts, Shanna and Kristen, and we are back. What's up, friend?
Hey. Sorry if you heard like the deep inhale next to the microphone. You literally started talking and I was like, oh, perfect time to have a giant yawn. But then I realized I was right next to the microphone. Anyways, I'm doing great.
Hey, last time we talked, you were going to a baseball game, and what an incredible game that was.
It really was. It was like such a great game. It was nuts. It was crazy down there. We got down there early and parked across the river in Newport. I forgot like what town it was in Newport, so that we weren't dealing with all the traffic. But as we were walking to the stadium, we saw a parking lot that was selling spaces to park for $100 a piece. $100 a piece.
You better have a big old SUV with lots of people to split that sucker.
Yeah, it was nuts. But yeah, the game was fantastic. And then they set off fireworks, and they were the loudest fireworks I've ever heard. And I'm kind of wondering if it's because the Taylor Swift concert was going on next door and they wanted to mess up the concert, and they did. There were people tweeting like, why are fireworks going off right now? Because I guess it was like during a really slow like acoustic portion of it. So
because there's other things going on in the world than right. The Taylor Swift
concert. It's not just Taylor Swift. Sorry if you're a Taylor Swift fan, but which is fine. Just I feel like those fans get a little rabid.
They do. It is crazy. We're going to one next Friday with my husband's work. We're going to see the Rangers, which
baseball game. I thought you meant Taylor Swift. Oh, I was no, like, you friend. Guys are going to a Taylor we are Swift not concert. Going. Who is this
she
best friend
has
of
already
mine?
Been here. She's already been here. And no,
Rangers game. Got it.
Because they're good, apparently.
Yeah.
This year. They said. And they're playing the Dodgers. So it should be a fun game.
Yeah.
So this will already be out by then, but. Anyway, that's our baseball talk.
That'll
I
be
feel
fun.
Like we
yeah.
do that.
We'll get that out of the way now. Time. Otherwise,
and it didn't take as long as last time.
I know.
Hey, we have a debate we need to settle.
We do.
We tried it with our husbands, but now we need our faithful listeners to help us with this. Because we currently have a debate on the best cereal between Cocoa Pebbles and Fruity Pebbles.
The best pebble, if you will. Not
the best pebble.
The best pebble.
That's great. Is That's it great you're saying it.
Cocoa Pebbles or Fruity Pebbles? I had posted this on my Facebook a few weeks back. And unfortunately, a lot of my friends seem to lean towards the fruity side. But but Cocoa Pebbles, this is my defense for Cocoa Pebbles, because you have chocolate milk afterwards. That's the deciding factor. You have chocolate milk that you can drink afterwards. No one tries to drink fruity milk. You don't go to the store and say, can I have a glass of fruity milk? No, they sell chocolate milk, but not fruity milk.
It's true.
So that is my defense.
But while you're eating it, fruity is way better than chocolate.
No, I tried some of Matt's Fruity Pebbles and I was like, not good. Not what I wanted.
Kristen sent me that question and she was like, why do you always side with my husband? I'm like, I'm sorry that he's right.
You did, but it's fine because your husband sides with me. So I feel like that balances and evens things out.
I know.
But that's now we need to know from our listeners. Maybe we'll post it on social media. And by we, I mean you.
Me. I will do it. Yeah. I will post it. I will post a poll because I need to know that Kristen is wrong.
No. Come on. We have to have more chocolate lovers out there than fruit lovers.
Fruity Pebbles is good, man.
No, it's not.
Okay.
They are both also get soggy instantly as soon as you pour the milk on. It is true. Instant sogginess.
There are better cereals out there, but if we're talking about the pebble debate,
the superior great pebble
debate of 2023, the superior pebble.
It is cocoa.
It is fruity.
It is cocoa. And it's fine. It's fine. It's okay to be wrong, Shanna.
I don't do that well.
Anyway, so we would love to hear your input. If you care. If you don't, that's fine. We care.
We care.
My husband and I both currently have Cocoa Pebbles and Fruity Pebbles in our cereal dispenser that you got us for our wedding.
I know. I kind of want one myself now. Does it work well? I'm just curious.
It does.
Love that.
It kind of feels like you're in a hotel every day.
It was like, the one thing I was like, no matter what, that's what they're getting. Because what Matthew really wanted.
Because he really, really wanted it.
And so I was like, I will get this. And now I'm like, I kind of want one myself.
I just don't like that it sits on my counter, but it's fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is what
it is. That is true. Hey, how's your Bible reading going?
Going really well. Super stoked we're in Isaiah finally.
It's my favorite Old Testament book.
But
and so
also,
I'm really glad to take it slow.
I will admit something. I believe this is the first time that I've actually read through the book of Amos.
Oh, it's not it's one that you normally
not
read through,
one
is
that
it?
You usually get mm-hmm. into. So that was fun because I don't think I've ever done a reading through the Bible plan. Mm-hmm. So I've probably read most of the Bible, the books, or read passages from them or heard sermons on them, but never actually having read through them. So
One of the things I find really interesting in Amos is like, it reminds me so much of like us now. Like there really is nothing new under the sun. Like the Israelites really was like, God is going to rain down justice and destroy those around us. And Amos mm-hmm. is like, he's going to judge you.
No, it's you. It's you that gets judged.
It's you. And so as I'm reading this, I'm like, that could be me too, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm pretty excited about that.
Yeah, it's going well. It's crazy to think that we're halfway through July, halfway through the year.
Yeah.
In our reading plan. 5.5 more months, and we'll have read the entire Bible all the way through.
It's been so great.
It is great.
And we're not even to the New Testament yet.
I know. That's just going to fly by.
You don't realize how big the Old Testament is.
It's true. You know what I'm really excited about, Kristen, is a lot of these interviews that we have coming up.
I know. We were just talking about that beforehand and how we have a few interviews coming up that we're really excited about.
Yeah, I have no doubt that they are going to serve the people of God and the church really, really well.
Yeah.
And so I think the one today that we're going to talk about tonight is a really good follow-up from what we've been doing. Mm-hmm. But then we're going to kind of get into some interviews after that and more like practical, like practically speaking, how do we live these things out? So,
yeah.
But today, last episode, we finished our doctrine series. And so I was kind of thinking through like, hey, where do we want to go next? You know, we have walked through like these things that we believe scripture shows to be true, right? And then like, where do we go from here? So if we know all of this, we're like, we want people to get into the word and to study the word for themselves, having language around what certain things are, right?
Mm-hmm.
Having like, we would say a lens to look through. And so this episode really is just how to make the most of your Bible study time. Because I mean, we live in a busy world, right? Yeah. Like we don't have time to sit down for hours and like study the book of Isaiah. I wish I could, because I'm
or
like,
maybe
one of my
you
favorites.
Do maybe but you're like, in a season you where do. You do have like you can carve out an hour a day, like Mm-hmm. You know, maybe that is where you're at, but many people don't read it.
Yes. Yes. And so, that's kind of what we want to talk about today is like, how do we want to make the most of our Bible study time that no matter the time that we're given, we want to, this is what I'm about to say is not a consumeristic thing, but we want to reap the best benefits, right? That's right. Why we're doing it is to love and know God more.
Mm-hmm.
So you want the best benefits. So, yeah. The more we're tugged, the more we really have to guard the time that we have when we're studying the Bible. So I think it can be really tempting to want our personal time in the Word to like really fill our emotional tank for the day.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times it's just easier to rush to the application point. And so it's like, yeah. Okay, great. Love this for this, you know, but what does it mean for me? And so a lot of times that limits our time. And the Word. And so like you hear the term devotion, I'm gonna do my devotion for the day. Mm-hmm. Let's go do my devotion. This is my devotion time. And so really devotional reading is basically just meditating on a passage and looking for a way to put it to immediate use. So there's a ton of devotional books. And I would say, if you ask me for a Bible study, I'm not going to recommend a devotional book. I think mm-hmm. those are two different things. Devotional books, you usually read and then you get like an immediate application and you want to use it immediately. Bible studies are just that mm-hmm. you're studying God's word. So, I think there's times when devotional reading is really beneficial and really helpful. But it's not foundational. It's not what you're building your life on or building your faith on. And so, you know, our friend Jen would always say, we have to study scripture with our hearts as well as our minds. Because your mind cannot love or your heart cannot love what your mind
heart
does not know.
Cannot I cannot, but your mind,
I feel like that's like tattooed in my brain and I just got those mixed up. But so with that, there are some helpful tools that we can kind of just put in our tool bag as we are studying God's word. So you want to kick us off?
Yeah, absolutely. So as you said, our friend Jen Wilkin, one of the revolutionary things, I think, for my Bible study and time in God's word spent, and I know I've heard from multiple people at different stages of life have heard this and said, oh, wow, that's really true. Like that is exactly how it should be. And is the idea of taking a long-term view of your Bible study. So Jen would use the idea of a savings account. She says to think of your Bible study as a savings account rather than a debit card, right? Instead of viewing it like a declining balance that you're always drawing on to fill that immediate need, you're allowing it to have that cumulative effect over weeks, months, and years. And I think that's super encouraging in those times of life when you might not have an hour and a half to sit down and study something fully, right? When you think of studying the Bible, it's like, okay, I've got to have my concordance and I've got to have this and I've got to have that. And I'm going to be able to sit down and study it for an hour mm-hmm. or else it's no good to me. mm-hmm. But the idea of it being a savings account that any time in the Word is helpful and is not going to go to waste. And it's that savings account that you just look at it as something that's going to continue to have effect. Any time that mm-hmm. you spend in the Word is going to have that. And so just even having 10 minutes is able to add to that savings account that it's not going to go.
It is really encouraging because I remember how discouraged I was whenever I was like, I mean, my son was just a tough baby and I had like, he was attached to me 24/7. And so there was mm-hmm. no, like, if I got to study at all, like to be very honest, I was in a season where like, if I'm going to read my Bible, like I'd rather sleep while he's sleeping, you know? Mm-hmm. And so like any time that I had, and sometimes it was 5 minutes, sometimes it was 10 minutes, sometimes it was having scripture being read over mm-hmm. me while I was rocking him, you know? But it can seem that you're not getting anything out of that. Like there's no benefit there, but truly, nothing is wasted, right? Mm-hmm. Like God does not waste anything. So it's just like, keep leaning in, keep showing up, and trusting that God has like his perfect timing, will make what you have learned be useful. But like you said, it might be years down the road, you know?
Yeah.
But nothing's wasted. So I do love that idea. Like, take a long-term view. Don't just sit here wanting immediate satisfaction, you know?
And that's a product of our culture, right?
100%.
It's a product of our culture is that we want the immediate gratification. Mm-hmm. Amazon Prime days were just, you know, the last mm-hmm. couple of days. And it's the idea of I can order something and it's at my doorstep in sometimes that day, mm-hmm. sometimes the next day, or at most 2 days. And if it takes any longer than 2 days, we're like, how dare it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right.
But that's not how it is with scripture, right? Mm-hmm. Like there are some passages that you might be able to read, glean, like what it's saying and apply it that day to your life. We're not saying that that's bad. Mm-hmm. There are those passages and there are those things that you're going to find that that is the case. But there are also many, many books and passages that aren't going to be that easy. Mm-hmm. And it's going to require, like you said, leaning in, making those deposits, continuing to faithfully study, mm-hmm. and knowing and trusting that God isn't going to let it go to waste.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think another really helpful thing to remember is like, just stay put, like just stay there. I think, you know, it's really easy for us to read passages pulled from like different parts of the Bible. And a lot of it is still to fill that emotional tank. Like mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that's always bad. Like there's been times where I have been in like deep grief recently. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I need to read what God says about this, you know? So mm-hmm. I'm not saying that's always bad. I'm saying when we are trying to study for greater knowledge, like in our minds, it's really helpful to just pick a book and stay there and read it and read it and read it and read it in different translations. I know.
Translations. Not just the King James Version.
That's right. Read it in different translations. I think, you know, a lot of times topical study guides and devotional guides can leave us really disconnected in scripture. Because if you're looking at scripture as one big story of how God is going to be with his people and dwell with his people, it's really easy just to pull certain stories out. And it just feels really disconnected, you know? And so it's really easy to grow really familiar with lots of Bible stories and lots of passages, but then you don't learn their context, and context matters. Right. Yeah. It's one thing I loved about going through the Bible chronologically is like when I'm reading a different book, I'm like, oh, well, this just happened in Israel, or this king is currently mm-hmm. On the throne when this is happening. Context matters. And so reading a book from the Bible from start to finish really helps us connect the dots and gives us a greater understanding of the Bible. I am currently writing a lesson. What is the title of this lesson? I have it pulled up on my computer because I was just writing it today, but it's Paul's letters to the churches. And one of the things that we are teaching our kids at a young age, like this is starting in kinder and first grade, is that the Bible was written for them and for then. So Paul's letters were written for them, to the churches in Philippi, and for then, but also for us and for now. And then for all and for always. And so we're trying, even at kinder, they're going to be like, I have no idea what you just said. I'm like, that's okay. We're going to give you language to hold on to. And so that's what I think about staying put, is that context matters, because it was first written for them and for then, mm-hmm. and then for us and for now, you know? And so I think just staying put in a book and soaking that in is really helpful.
Yeah. Speaking of context, that's a big part of it, right? That would be another point in this, I guess you could say, is making sure that you're taking the time to understand the context when you're, before you even begin to study a book. Let's say you've decided to study the book of Romans. You're going to want to go and research historical and cultural context, and reading as you read through the book, then you can read it in light of its original audience, the setting. Those things are basic principles of interpretation. It's being able to understand and know those things so that when you're reading, it's never divorced from the context. Because that's how we can get into a lot of trouble. And that's how we've seen a lot of abuse of scripture, is because they divorce it from its context, from its original context, and then say, okay, this is what it means. No, that's not what that verse is intending to mean. Like, can you take it, pluck it out, and make it mean that? Yeah, maybe. But you have to completely take it outside of its context and outside of who it was originally written to. Some other things that you would want to know and study before you actually start reading the book would be, who wrote the book? Who was it written to? When was it written? Like, what was going on in that person or church's life? And what are the historical and cultural factors that informed this writing or prompted it? Because those things all matter, and those things all show up in that book. Again, these books of the Bible and these letters that were written were not void of cultural influence. And they were not void of sayings and different things like that. If you think of writing a book nowadays, there's a lot of cultural sayings that maybe people are going to read 400 years in the future and be like, what the heck does this mean?
People are weird.
I mean, I feel that way about what some of my nephews say, like their sayings that they say. And that's just a few, 20 years difference. So those things show up in writing and in scripture. And so it's really important to make sure that you're honoring the context and that you're taking that time to really understand.
Because like you said, a lot of times it's really hard to remove our own cultural lens, like you said. And so learning and saying, okay, like, this is what was happening at this time, kind of helps you separate our cultural and historical ideas from what was happening then, So along with that, another thing would be to understand the genre. And sometimes this can be a little more difficult, but it's super necessary because they read differently. And so the Bible has so many different literary genres in it. There's like historical narrative, there's poetry, prophecy, wisdom literature, letters, like Paul's letters, and each of them uses language and imagery in a certain way. So you would not read Psalms the way that you would read the Gospels. You would not read prophecy the way that you would read wisdom literature. I think also referencing our last episode, this is really where a lot of Revelations gets messy. It's because people are it's written in a lot of the different ways, with like imagery and all these kind of different ways, and people can read it totally different. And so I think making sure we understand the genre, like, this is written poetically, which is your favorite, right? You love Psalms. Or this book is a historical narrative. It's telling you what happened in Israel's history. You should not take what they're saying as prophecy right now, that is really helpful. So it's like having groundwork before you even begin to dive in is really helpful.
Yeah, absolutely. Another thing, so again, we're kind of just trying to give some different points or tools or just helpful aspects of being able to get more, or the not more, the most out of your Bible study. Part of that is also going to be, there are certain tools, and it's not like, again, it's not a concordance. It might be a concordance that you would refer after you've done some work in it, but you know, it's not necessarily, you know, all these different books, but there's other tools that you can use to help you through your Bible study. Some of those tools are reading the text repetitively. So reading it through and then reading it through again and reading it through again and continuing to read it through. Another one is to paraphrase verses in your own words to help you focus on the meaning, and really help you understand, or attempting to understand, what it is that that verse is meaning. You'll want to look up word meanings. Like, what does this word mean? If there's a word that you aren't understanding how it fits in, look up what it means. Annotating a copy of the text. I know that's a big thing for Jen Wilkins Bible studies, is to annotate. Mm-hmm. And then also, again, checking cross-references, reading accessible commentaries, those kinds of things. I would say those you want to do after you've put in some of the work. I know Jen is pretty big about that as well in her studies, is try to do the work, because you're never going to be able to do it if you don't try and you don't flex that muscle and you don't get better at that. Mm-hmm. And those are just some tools that will help you build comprehension and help move you toward that sound interpretation and application.
Yeah. This next one, I think I'm better at it now, but I really struggled with it for a very long time. And it is learning to dwell in the I don't know. I think, you know, we don't like to feel lost in the Bible. We want answers. We want to understand it. But, you know, that feeling's actually really good. And it's an important step in the learning process. So we have to feel the extent of what we don't know before we can push ourselves to pursue knowledge. Mm-hmm. You know, if we read everything and understood everything, it loses this like, wow, I really don't understand this. Like, I need the Holy Spirit to illuminate this to me, you know? When we read a passage, we feel the tension of not understanding it, and we immediately go to study notes to relieve that tension, or to commentaries, or to sermons, or Google, you know, like, we want to relieve it, and I want to know. But, you know, that tension is actually what helps us retain understanding when we finally achieve it, because we've been studying it over and over and we've been dwelling on it. Mm-hmm. And so it helps you with retaining that information. And so we have said it before, and I'll just say it again, commentary of any kind, which is sermons, notes in the study Bible, podcasts, all of that is best used after you spent time trying to understand the passage on your own. Because when you're doing that, you know, you're really honoring God's command to love him with your mind, not someone else's mind. Mm. There is something to be said about studying scripture and then having the Holy Spirit really just illuminate something. And you're like, oh my goodness, I have never understood it that way, or I've missed that before. And it's something that it's a really sweet moment where it's not like, I see this better because someone else pointed this out to me. There is a place for that, but it's only after you have done the work yourself.
Yeah. And I think now more than ever, it's harder to sit in that I don't know, because you have
instant gratification.
Gratification. I can go to Google and I can type that in, and I can type, what does so-and-so say about this topic? And a trusted person that I might know and trust and think that, okay, what they're going to, you know, preach on, and I can bring up a sermon. I can bring up a sermon of anyone across the world internationally and be able to get some illumination from that. And like, oh, okay, that's what that means. But like you said, it very much can undercut the work that the Holy Spirit can do. And kind of trying to like move him out of the way. Like, no, I'm just going to go and find it myself. Mm-hmm. And we're not saying, don't get us wrong. We're not saying listening to sermons on a topic is bad. Mm-hmm. We're not saying that listening to podcasts on a topic is bad. I just listened mm-hmm. again to the, Knowing Faith. They re-released an episode of their union with Christ, their conversation about union with Christ. And that was so great. And so it's not bad to go and listen to those things. Mm-hmm. The problem is when those become our first stop 100%. In the journey mm-hmm. that we're reading and we say, okay, I'm done reading. I don't understand what this means. I'm going to go to X, Y, and Z or this person mm-hmm. to tell me what to believe. Cause then just kind of getting back into that, that idea of I'm just going to be told what to believe. I'm not mm-hmm. going to study scripture for myself. And it's hard and it takes a lot of work, but it's so, so rewarding.
Yeah.
Like you said, when you do get that, you know, the Holy Spirit does illuminate and you're like, oh, I see it.
That's literally some of the sweetest times that I have with the Lord. And a lot of times it comes through writing. Because I have to sit and I have to study. And I had a lesson recently that I was writing and I'm like, I have no idea how to pull this together. Mm. And I was like, I'm going to, which is really hard when I'm in the middle of something, I want to finish it. I do not like putting it away for another day, but I was like, I'm going to close this laptop and I'm going to go to bed. And then tomorrow we're going to start fresh. And so I did, I did my Bible study time and then pulled my laptop out and like with fresh eyes, I'm like, okay, Lord, like you're going to have to show me what to do. And it came together beautifully. And it was like and then I remember reflecting on it and I'm like, how did I do that? Like it was the Lord. Mm-hmm. And it's some of the sweetest times when that happens, where if I was just like Google other churches' lessons on this and pull it from that, it's not the same, you know? And so I think dwelling in the I don't know and just sitting with the Lord, I think is some of the sweetest times. And so that's what I would really encourage that a lot.
Yeah. The next point that we would say is to study all of scripture. So scripture itself says that all scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable. So if we believe that, then we have to work to spend time in all of it, not just our favorite books, not just our favorite books that make us feel good, not just our favorite passages that make us feel good, but studying the breadth of scripture. We need to study the Old Testament to be able to fully understand the New Testament. And we have to be careful, and this is preaching to myself, right? I'm like saying this as a reminder to myself, we have to be careful not to avoid or hurry past sections of the Bible that seem boring or unhelpful.
Or
do
hard.
I feel like Psalms is sometimes mm-hmm. a bit much? Yes, but it is helpful. There's many books that we've been in this Old Testament as we, you know, read through the scripture that I'm like, man, I don't want to read this one, but it's good to. And again, we're not even studying it. We're, you know, we're reading through it. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But it's good to study those books and those passages that we just aren't excited to dive into.
Yeah. I was talking to Emma, I think I shared with you and even like on my personal Facebook page, but I shared with you, Emma and I had a really long conversation, a couple days ago, and, I was trying to like trick her up, man. I like kid smart. I couldn't. And so I was like, okay, well, Emma, like does the Old or New Testament point to Jesus? And I thought for sure she was going to say the New Testament. And she was like, all of it. And I was like, that's 100% right. All of it points to Jesus. Even these minor prophets that we're reading, like all of them point to Jesus. And so if they all point to Jesus, you need to study all of it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Like we can't pick and choose. And so, yeah, I thought that was, I'm like, oh, I can't outsmart my 10-year-old. You need better. I think this next section, we have talked about before at the beginning, I believe, of Growing Grace, and just stating like the need for Bible literacy and for mm-hmm. women to know to study the Bible for themselves. And so it's really important to remember that the Bible is a book about God and His grace. And so it's really tempting for us to read the Bible as a roadmap for our lives or as a guide for abundant living. Like, you do this, you'll see these results. Mm-hmm. God tells us to do this. And so we should do this. Like, it's a roadmap. But the Bible is not a book about us. It's a mm-hmm. book about God. And so from Genesis to Revelations, it reveals and celebrates the character and work of God. And so we do gain self-knowledge, but only because we gain God knowledge, right? So mm-hmm. we learn to see ourselves rightly compared to who He is, which is why we did the whole attribute series.
Right.
So it's like learning to see our character in relation to His, and then like how much we need Him. And so we even talked about this in our attribute series. Like, we always need to read a passage first saying, what does this passage teach me about God and His redemptive work? Mm-hmm. Then like we see ourselves in Him. And so like we even did this with some of the attributes, like knowing that God is this shows me that mm-hmm. I am this. So like knowing that God is patient or long suffering causes me to reflect on how impatient I am. Or impatient, is unpatient a word?
Mm-mm. No, it's
impatient.
Not.
Impatient. How impatient I am. So how should I live in light of that? Like, how can I work on that? How can I be right. more like Jesus? And so
that's the literal definition of being more like Jesus, yeah, right? Like,
yeah,
exactly. Knowing, you have to know who He is in order to be more like Him.
Yeah. And so it's just allowing the application of a passage to flow from the lens of how we see and how we view God. Mm-hmm. So we should always, when we're studying, we should always look first at like, where do I see God's character displayed in this? Mm-hmm. And then knowing that He's like this, how do I see myself? I think that's one of the most helpful things that I've learned when reading the Bible, because everyone wants to be like, okay, I'm going to read this. And so how does this apply to me? Mm-hmm. And first and foremost, it's a book about God. It's not a book about us.
Right. And while it is the last point, it is not the least, and it is not the last one that you turn to. These are not in an order necessarily. But the last point that we would say is prayer. We can all acknowledge that we lack wisdom, and we are never more aware of lacking wisdom than when we start to study the Bible and become students of the Bible. Mm-hmm. It's made very evident as you start reading and you encounter these passages where you're like, well, I don't know what that means. and you realize, oh, I do need wisdom. I do need to pray. And so we would just encourage all of us to pray before, during, and after your study time. Ask God to give you ears to hear. And then acknowledge your limitations and ask God to grant you wisdom and insight as you study, because He won't refuse your request.
Yeah. And I think that's the sweetest thing, you know. One thing that we pray with our kids is, it's in Psalms, and it's like, just open my eyes to behold the beauty of your law, mm-hmm. or your word is how that could be translated. And so it's just open my eyes for me to see what, you have for me in this. And so it is, it's definitely last but not least, like, it's really one of the most important things. It's how we talk to God, right? Through mm-hmm. prayer. Okay. To close this, now I have on here that in our lovely notes, I would love if you want to, we can share maybe like what we have personally found helpful. Now, I use a lot of these methods. I use most of these methods, honestly.
Right.
And so, I don't know what else we have to say about that. I think the one thing I might add that I have found helpful is when I am studying a particular book and I'm going to be there. So as a group, we are doing the chronological study. And so we're not staying put in a mm-hmm. in a book of the Bible, but when I'm doing my personal study time and I'm staying in a book, I always order like the journaling. So like it's on Amazon. You can order it and there's no notes. Let me find it real quick. There is no, I don't know. I'll have to look for it. But it's like, you can buy like just Psalms and it has the Bible and then it has a place for you to journal, but there's no notes in it. Mm-hmm. And that's what I will use because I have them all behind me on my bookshelf. It takes away the temptations for me to look in a study Bible because mm-hmm. it's just God's word and it's a place for me to journal and it's just the book I'm in. I annotate in that. I highlight in that. If I have questions, I'll write questions in it. So when I do go to like look at a commentary, I can circle back around to, oh, like I had a question about this. But I have found that very helpful and I am looking on Amazon right now. Are you looking on Amazon right now?
I was looking on Amazon, but then.
Oh, they're called scripture journals.
There you go.
Yep. Scripture journals. Yep. We will link them. They like this one is the whole book of Genesis is $8.
Yeah.
And so that's what I have found helpful. I'll pick a book like usually around Christmas. I'm actually in Isaiah and it's always, I have like a million questions, because of it, but I have just mine's the ESV. It's a scripture journal and it's like whatever book I'm in, that's what it doesn't allow me to cheat that way.
Yeah. A couple of things, and I don't know where these would fall into it. One of them would be if I'm studying a book, or even I found it helpful when at church we are going through, we typically our pastors preach through a specific book. And so we've been going through Romans, but for the summer we tabled that and now are going through the book of Ecclesiastes. And so one of the things that is really helpful either in that context or when I'm studying a book myself, is to listen to it when I'm in the car. So like Matt and I have gotten in the habit of listening to Ecclesiastes on our way into church, like that specific chapter that we're going to be going through, just to kind of start preparing our hearts, listening, and start thinking about it. But in the same way, as I'm driving around, rather than listening to music, listening to that book or as much of that book, wherever I am going, will allow me, but having that read to me, like you said, you know, sometimes that is all people have the opportunity for. But that has been super helpful just to be able to hear it and kind of get it ingrained in my mind. That's part of that repetitive reading. But it's kind of repetitive listening, I guess. The other thing that I would say is that I think sometimes we are intimidated if we've never done this before. We are intimidated by how to even begin to start doing this. And so I would recommend, if that's you, if where you're like, I don't know if I can just sit down, that seems really scary, try it. If it's still very, very scary, there are ways that you can be introduced to something like that. And one of the studies that I love, like there's Jen Wilkin has multiple studies of certain books of the Bible, right? So you could work through one of those to start teaching you how to do it in that
aspect
of it.
Modeled off out of this as well.
The other one that I would suggest, it's not exactly the same, but it's the same idea, is the Daily Grace Co. has a lot of specific books that they work through. And some of them are just like a 5-week study. So it's not super, but it starts getting you in the habit of being in one book for 5 weeks. And it's so it's a little bit more approachable. If you're looking at this and saying, I can't do this, like I just can't, that's a little bit more of an approachable and an easy way to be introduced into some of those studies. So we'll put those in our notes as well as references if you want to check those out.
Yeah. Well, I'm really excited about what is to come for Growing Grace. I think this was just a really great episode to kind of piggyback off of our doctrine series. Mm-hmm. And this is also one that you can come, you know, you can always come back to and be like, okay, what do I need to do again? Right. I'm really glad that we did this. But we have a lot of really great guests on the horizon that I am so pumped about. And I know that it's really going to benefit our listeners. It's going to benefit us.
Yeah. And I think our guests will end up taking us into like basically beginning fall, which is wild to think about.
Yeah.
Because then right around the corner is the holidays again. Like it feels
we just did this
a blur. Like we just did it, but we've got a lot of fun things on the horizon that we are of course excited about. But as Shanna said, we hope that it is helpful and useful, and
Well, I always love talking theology with you.
Always.
And the Bible. It's like one of my most favorite things. And so I'm glad we got to do this together.
Yeah. It's been, we always say it, that we don't have the time to spend like we used to just chatting and talking, but this is built in time where we have to do it. And it's not a have to do though.
Yeah.
It's I get it. To. Right.
Yeah. Yep. It just makes us put it in our schedule.
Exactly. We're like, oh, we have to record.
Yay.
And so then our husbands know that they have to deal with us without us for like an hour and a half.
Yeah.
2 hours, sometimes longer, depending on how long we want to talk. So
that's right. All right, friend. Well, I always enjoy it.
Always fun. And until next time.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Grow in Grace podcast. You can find us at growingracepodcast.com for links to all of our social medias, resources we suggest, and to listen to previous episodes. We hope you can join us next time as we strive together to grow in grace.